Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon, episode 163. This is the newscast for February 13th, 2011. My name is Ross Scott. I am your host this day, evening, whenever you're listening to this. Man, I need to work on this intro. you can find my work at the system, which can be found. My work is the system, which can be found at systemcomic.com. Comics will be posted until morale improves. With me today on the show, we have, as always, the lovely, the wonderful Alex Heberling. How you doing, Alex?
Good. How's it going? I guess I'm not voluptuous this time.
Well, you're lovely. You can't be, I mean, always voluptuous, but sometimes you're also lovely. Besides, you know, you got a boyfriend. I don't want to mess with that.
Fair enough.
Alex, Alex's work, by the way, can be found at alexsguide.net, and it's actually a really wonderful comic. I got to tell you, Alex, I'm a much bigger fan of Alex's Guide than I was of Garanos. I love reading it. I really do.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe we haven't really done this. Do you want to like say a quick sentence or two about what it's about?
Sure, actually. Alex's Guide is just a semi-autobiographical comic about the exciting life of being a middle-tier webcomic artist. It started as a 24-hour comic I did in 2008, and I've been doing it for 8-ish months now, something like that, or around comic 90.
How's it been in comparison to doing the fantasy comic you used to do?
Well, I really lost steam with like the size of my audience, but the reactions that I get from it are very different from Garanos. Like I put up prints and stuff of the comics at my tables, and did get a lot more people to stop. So
awesome. Speaking of middle tier webcomic artists, I think we all fall into that category. No offense to anyone, really. Speaking of middle tier webcomic artists, Mark Savory is also with us today.
Holy crap, I've been promoted.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, if you've updated recently, you're middle tier. That's my new rule.
Okay.
We skipped small tier. No one wants to be small tier.
Okay. Ooh, I guess.
I do shed a small tier for webcomics sometimes.
Oh, speaking of which, wait, Mark, do you want to tell people about Autumn Lake real quick? Autumnlake.com.
Autumnlake.com. Safe for work, safe for grandma. Check it out. It's a newspaper style gag-a-day comic.
Awesome.
Right now I'm in the middle of the Face-O-Matic story. Where Mark gets a new face.
Sounds riveting.
Which will be revealed later today, I hope.
Why are you slipping into a James Cagney impersonation?
That means everybody has to take a drink.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Has anyone invented a newscast drinking game yet? I would love to see that.
We talked about it extensively on the third anniversary show.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move right along. We have two more people with us today. First of all, special guesting this week is Kara Dennison of conscrew.com. Hey, Kara.
Hello, what's up?
Not much. How about yourself?
Not a lot.
What do you want to tell people what they can find if they go to conscrew.com?
Conscrew.com is a whole bunch of webcomics. This is my 11th year as a webcomicker coming up. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, the title webcomic has actually ended, but all the archives are still there, and there's all sorts of other comics updating throughout the week. So plenty of fun for everyone.
Fun fact, Kara is the only person I know with a Gurren Lagann tattoo.
Yes, I have
one.
It is pretty fantastic. I also write for geekingoutabout.com. I'm a regular contributor there.
Awesome.
And I cover, oddly enough, webcomics and British TV.
Oh, those are two wonderful categories of things. And they we were just talking too, before we started recording about Doctor Who. So
yes, we were.
Fits in nicely. And of course, chiming in whenever he feels like it, but mostly just running things behind the scenes, we have our producer. I've upgraded you to producer.
Oh, you upgraded me.
Yeah, I've decided. We put it to him. The one, the only, Fess. Hey, Fess.
Hi. I'm sick.
If you're gonna pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
If you're going to say something every once in a while, people need to know whose voice that just was.
Oh, they know. They know.
Oh, they know. Okay. Well, let's jump into the articles. So to start things off, by the way, all these articles compiled by the lovely and voluptuous Eric of Pastor.com.
Yay!
Did something.
I see how it is, Russ. I see how it is.
Well, if his comic is any indication, at exern.com, E-X-I-E-R-N.
You have a valid point, sir.
man likes a good boob. Possibly. Anyway. At least one, possibly two. Anyway, so first article. That was my serious throat clearing. The first article is about Diamond has teamed up with Iverse to offer in-store digital comic sales. So here's how this works. You go to a physical comic book store to buy basically a code that you then take home and go and download a digital comic. How is someone please convince me how this isn't a huge, horrible waste of time?
You're doing it wrong.
glad we're in agreement. Okay, quick quote from the article. Imagine a future where readers and fans can visit their local comic shop to buy not just physical copies of new comics, but digital editions that aren't available anywhere else. And can be viewed in multiple platforms, including iPhone, iPad, web, and others. If it's available digitally, why am I going to a store? That's what I can't figure out. Like, I know they're trying to make it unique and things you can only buy there, but why do that?
This is like Argos, but dumber. Argos is the store in England where you go and you order things online within the store on their computer and then wait for it.
I like I touched on this 40-year-old virgin. Just sort of a bone they're throwing to all the comic stores.
Yeah, it just seems like they're trying to please everybody, and in the process, pleasing nobody.
Like, did you guys listen to the newest Webcomics Weekly where they talked about this?
No, not yet.
You really have to.
Not damn.
Apart from raising, you know, many good points about this being, you know, being something to subsidize retailers. Brad Geiger has a bunch of Skype connection issues, and he breaks in the middle of laughing. So for about 5 minutes, it's just, you can only hear, ha, 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 ha. It's amazing, and I was about to throw up from laughing so much when I was listening to it.
Oh, man.
Sounds like someone Tanya has problems with.
And then it happens again, like, 15 minutes later.
But we never have those sorts of problems here on the Webcomic Beacon. That never happens.
If only.
You know, let me just mention one more thing about this. So they're doing this in stores. Does anyone here ever have like a Nintendo DS? Because didn't they try and do a big push a couple of years ago where you'd take your DS to a store and then you could download special stuff?
Yeah, I heard about
that.
Yeah,
it was demos.
Never had a DS at that point, but I heard about it.
And then the DSi also, I mean, the DSi and the DS, they could connect to the internet, but I don't think you could download demos with the DS, maybe with the DSi, because Nintendo is, well, they didn't get on the demo wagon when they should have, let's say. But I have no idea. I haven't been a console gamer really for a while, so I don't know anymore.
From my understanding, I mean, that kind of thing just never took off. I mean, why would you bother to go somewhere when the whole point of digital is to be able to do it from anywhere? Like, I really am just perplexed. It just seems like they're adding too many steps into a process that doesn't need it. Ugh. Well, all right then.
There's like four middlemans now.
Yeah, speaking of four middlemen, that takes us right into our next. By the way, that first article, the original source is bleedingcool.com, and links to, I can't, what is it?
The original source was at Comic Speak.
Oh, the original source is at Comic Speak.
And there's additional discussion on bleedingcool.com, which we'll post, and there's something on indignantonline.com
as
well.
That's what I was trying to read.
So we'll post those in the show notes for additional discussion.
Yeah, speaking of which, the Bleeding Cool article mentions a really interesting point about Tower of Babel syndrome, where currently, so once again, we have a set of publishers off on one proprietary platform, Iverse, and then another set of publishers, DC and Marvel, on other platforms, Comixology, Graphically, etc. So what is being encouraged here is to split up your digital collection over several proprietary file formats. It's a larger issue, but comics need a standard format like MP3 for music. Mm-hmm. Diamond, by extension, the retailers aren't helping matters by backing a seriously incomplete selection of publishers on a proprietary format. Well, unless you're trying to be a monopoly and just force everyone onto your format. Boom. Yeah. I think that says it all, really. I mean, I don't know what else could be said. I personally think that this whole thing is just going to give way to someone's going to just start doing a good CDR reader and just start offering CDRs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep. Well, I'm glad we're in agreement. By the way, one other thing over in that Bleeding Cool article, kind of off topic, is the new Tokyo Comics Code that's taken effect. Now, I know you guys have. I know we have some manga readers among us. Have you guys? Mm-hmm. Have you guys read about this yet? And its ramifications.
No, if it's just remind me, I think I know what it is, but probably need a little jog.
Sure. Well, so there's all these rules about what you can and can't draw. Basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because of child pornography issues, they're basically cracking the whip on things that you're not allowed to put in manga anymore.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the basics.
Yeah, that was.
And of all things, the New York Times has an article about it.
I have heard the fan outcry on this, and to be honest, I haven't seen as much about it. All I've seen is the backlash, which is usually what happens. You're going to get all the bloggers who basically complain.
Yeah.
And you never get the basic points. So I should see the New York Times article, but.
Well, if you follow that Bleeding Cool link over at webcomicbeacon.com, then you can see it in there. All right, let's move on to our next topic. Man, I got to be honest. I was reading about the next topic and then got completely distracted by the fact that Henry Rollins is going to be in the next Green Lantern movie.
What, really?
Yeah, the animated one, he's playing Kilowog. And Roddy Piper is going to be in it? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got sidetracked by that too now.
I know, right?
All right, guys, bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Okay. Mm-hmm. The actual news article that we're going to now be talking about, also via Bleeding Cool, is that Comic-Con International has sold out. San Diego Comic-Con has sold out already in less than a day, as it often does.
They always sell out, don't they?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they've sold out in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I wasn't talking ticket sales, but anyway.
Yeah. Ew, so, not only sold out, but there's been some talk of organizing events nearby for the fans that want to go but missed out. Some events, you know, around that area of San Diego. Now, this is when I defer to my old friend A.O. Dern of Hello Cheese, who's from the San Diego area and loves to tell me all about how much San Diego turns into a hellhole whenever Comic-Con comes to town, or Nerd Prom, as it is sometimes.
Comic-Con is coming to town.
I've always thought of it as more the Nerd King of Hearts dance than the Nerd Prom, but that's just me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's I'm looking for this link. There's been some talk about this kind of anti-con going on in the nearby area. Would you guys? Aren't you guys going to San Diego?
To no.
No, I couldn't afford it. I wish I could someday. Yeah. I would like to go, but
maybe next year.
That would be amazing, but no.
Well, a quick webcomic tip. The group that puts on San Diego Comic-Con, which also puts on New York, they offer free industry badges to anyone that's in industry and signs up for it. And their definition of industry is wonderfully vague. If you have a blog, you're pretty much industry as far as they're concerned. And they will give you a ticket. Now, mind you, there's still flights and lodging and all that kind of stuff. But if you're interested in going, you guys on the show, you guys listening, be sure to check out industry badges and come go check it out.
Excellent.
Interesting. Yeah.
I did a great thing a couple of years ago. We got industry badges and went to New York Comic Con, and that let me scout it out for free, basically. And then the next year, I actually had a table there. so it was like a great kind of scouting trip, which for a big show like that, I think is honestly really helpful to scout it out like that.
So I'm curious, these extra events, I wonder, do you still have to buy some kind of ticket, I would assume? I mean, is this just another way to make a little extra cash on the people who couldn't go?
Well, the thing is, there's always like kind of tertiary events, you know, like every place in the area. Like clubs will do like special themed things, and restaurants will do, well, they'll jack up their prices, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So and kick you out real quick.
Right. So, I mean, it's the idea of giving some people somewhere to go. According to the article on the Comics Reporter, Eric Larson and Kurt Busiek were talking on Twitter about creating an offsite event, but it doesn't say much more than that. And honestly, I can't keep up on everyone's Twitter anymore. So, but it would be a cool place to, you know, a cool idea, because let's face it, half of the con isn't about the con itself, right? It's about being at the con area where everyone else is. Yeah. Talking with everybody, hanging out with everybody, that sort of thing. So I think the idea is a good one.
And also, if there are people who are particularly paranoid about large events, mm-hmm. which I know I definitely can be. That's why I don't go to Otakon. I just look at it and go, too big, too crowded. So for something like that, for people who want to go to a thing like that, but just look at the crowd and freak out, something like that, definitely.
Well, how do you guys feel about big cons versus small cons? Which do you like better to table at, to be at, whatever?
If I'm going to table, I prefer a big con. But if I'm just going for giggles or I'm some other part of staff, which also happens, I like them smaller. I like them middling to small, because if I'm going to be wandering around, it's just too much sometimes. But if I'm going to be in one stationary point watching the crowd go by and trying to, you know, pull people over, big crowd, that's fine by me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alex?
Kind of both for me, because I really like big conventions, because then, you know, I make more money. But woo-hoo. Smaller conventions also have the huge, huge, huge advantage of not fucking up elevators for an entire weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
YomaCon, OhioCon, all of these big anime conventions out here, the hotels that they are in are just like.
And the local
shut
bars,
down.
And the local restaurants, and the local hotels.
Yeah. That's what I always think so funny about Kineticon is every year there's the one bar that's open. And so everyone that's of age that is at the con, which is not that
descends
many people,
upon it.
All descends upon this one place. Okay. Well, speaking of cons,
elevators are actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they are good because that's a convention center, not a hotel.
True.
So they've got more kind of dispersed kind of thing. Mark, smaller big cons?
Well, I haven't been to a big one, I have to admit, but I have been to a couple of small cons of one kind or another. I think I prefer those anyway because you actually have a chance to talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
With a big con, they're very noisy, and you have an even better chance of catching con crud, and they're expensive if you want a table. They're very expensive, like a San Diego would be ungodly expensive for somebody like me.
Right.
And yes. I think a small con, you have a better chance to stand out. You have a better chance to talk with the guests that come and interact with them. So I think I would prefer the smaller ones.
All right. Well, I'm really proud of you guys. No one made any penis jokes. Well done. Let's move on to...
Is that a problem? Is that a regular problem here?
Regular problem. It's regular. I don't know if it's a problem. let's see. What is next up? Okay, are we on to Cleefield on Webcomics 1? Is that where we are?
Should
be.
We're
in a discussion now? Yes. Okay, so... Sean Cleefield is a regular webcomics blogger, and he's recently been tapped by MTV Geek and is now doing articles on MTV Geek, apparently about webcomics. And he has his first one up, Cleefield on Webcomics number 1, Webcomics a Primer, which I'll be honest, reads very much like your basic, hey, look, here is what webcomics is sort of approach, and covers a lot of the basics and explains how it's not Heathcliff.
I'm glad we make that distinction.
I'm just wondering we're talking about MTV, which in theory, I don't know, since they stopped actually showing music videos, aren't geeks already supposed to be into MTV already? So wouldn't they already kind of know what a webcomic is?
I haven't watched MTV since I was 13, so.
Well, me neither, but I mean, it seems to me this article, which is fine, is aimed at people who have never heard of what a webcomic is. They don't know what it is, which doesn't seem to fit with the MTV target audience, does it?
Someone needs to make a list of, like, the basic webcomic articles and then come up with one just blanket statement that's like, okay, first of all, go read this. And then just write an article that's actually going to be the next step. Now, mind you, this is his first in what seems to be a series, so I have faith that, you know, it'll go into a lot more and he needs to cover the basics. I get that. But, you know, I mean, how many articles have we read like this, right?
This is written for MTV Geek.
Right.
I mean, you would think a geek would know what a webcomic is.
Well,
my thoughts exactly. Like, who?
I mean,
the guys
running MTV may not know. Right. Maybe that's why you wrote it that way.
There are comics on the internet.
And by the way, this part I want to reference real quick. One place to start is to simply ask your friends and acquaintances. There's a good chance they'll rattle off some of the more well-known webcomics like Girl Genius, PvP, and XKCD. They might also point you to some lesser-known favorites. It's worth poking around on those sites because even if you don't like that particular comic, they tend to have links to others you might enjoy. I gotta say, I actually kind of liked reading that. Because it's true, that's how I got into webcomics is reading the one that someone told me about and then following the links and following those links of links.
And so on and so on and so on.
So on and so on and so on, which makes me remember I need to update my links page. But
8-Bit Theater, 2001.
Yeah, what were your guys' first webcomic?
Oh, man.
When you were young and foolish.
Pop your webcomic cherries.
Sinfest?
That's so funny. Sinfest was the second one I ever read. The first was Mayberry Melon Pool, which linked me to Sinfest.
Oh, yeah. I think, Sinfest was my first.
Was it gentle?
Not really, no. It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
As anyone who's read it knows.
Yeah. Mark, what was yours?
I would have to say Penny Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really follow it regularly, but I would I tripped across it somewhere in a link or something, and I follow it for a while, then drop it for a long time, then go back and look at it again, and I haven't been back to it in a long time, but that would probably technically be the first one.
You know, I'm constantly asking whenever someone comes up to me at a table or someone comments on the site that they just found the comic, and I'm constantly asking them how they found it. Because I'm always interested to find out, like, did you follow a link? Did you, you know, how did you find this? And I'm amazed some of the results I hear. You know, like one person tried to Google a food recipe.
Yes, and, I get that a lot too.
Well,
not
well,
food recipes.
Conscrew. Yeah. Gee, I wonder what people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, whatever, man. Whatever. If it's they true. Stay and keep reading.
Yeah, I've had people Google the phrase murder dog and then find my comic. And what's so funny about that is I'm like, what were you looking for before?
What were you thinking? Yeah.
In my case, I say, oh, you read it.
Yeah, there's really? That too.
Mom? Huh? You found my comic? What? I've been told that the name of my comic sounds like a porn star. So I don't know if there's a connection. If that were true, I'd have a hell of a lot more readers, I think.
Hi, my name's Autumn Lake.
You would think. That's true. Or maybe that's why I don't have as many readers. Maybe they're just turned off by the fact it's not a prawn.
They're disappointed.
Prawn comic. That must
not
be
a prawn.
It's not prawn, man.
It's a tarp. Okay. Let's move on to the next article, shall we? So Kickstarter and Twitter are changing the way creative works are made. Original via webcomics.com, forum post by Don Chappell, which can be found at donchappell.com, links us to Think Vitamin, which is a really great blog put out by the people that do Carsonified, amongst others. It's a really great blog for design, actually. I follow it for just web design and that kind of stuff. But they have a great article about Kickstarter and Twitter and how, well, there's we've heard this story before where someone says, I want to do a book, and then they put it on Kickstarter, and then they get more money than they wanted, and then voila, now they're doing a book.
More money
in this case,
than they wanted.
It's a guy named... What's that?
More money than they wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that
too
happens.
Short.
Oh. I was listening to
maybe than they
CBC.
Expected, but maybe not
I
as...
I hate when that happens.
Is,
God.
God, guys, I have too much money.
Wah. I mean, we saw this with a lot of webcomic artists have put out their stuff and said, I need this much money, and then they raise a little more. Great. You know, good for them. It's basically a pre-order, but it's a very organized system for pre-order. But this links to a guy named Frank Chimero, who is a designer and talks about graphic design. But honestly, he talks about it in such a broad way that really any visual artist can appreciate his stuff. So be sure to follow the links from there. But he put up that he needed $27,000 to make the book he wanted to make. And then within a couple days, because he's really well-known and seen as a really smart guy in his field, he raised $51,000 so far.
Poor.
So far.
So far.
So far. And, well, that seems to be working out well for him. But there's also in there links to other stories of other people doing basically the same, you know, and using Kickstarter, using Ustream, and using these new ways of making money that have nothing to do with t-shirts. Have you guys tried Kickstarter?
I haven't.
Not yet. Oh. I keep thinking I will, and then I never quite get anything.
Yeah, I haven't had a big enough project to.
Yeah, exactly.
To merit
I
it.
Don't have a big enough following to.
There is that too. There is that too. I do not have that.
Well, I know on Webcomics Weekly a while back, Scott Kurtz was really hating on Kickstarter for making things too easy or something. I forget exactly what his argument was. He didn't like it though. I don't know. I've seen it do great things for people I know. So I got nothing against it. I want to put my book out on Kickstarter. If nothing else, it'll kind of make me do it, you know, in a way that putting it all under my own guise won't.
Sort of a crowdsourced kind of thing too. I mean, if your project is crap, people aren't going to support it, and
right.
Well, there's a clue. But if the project is good, then you have a chance of actually getting the damn thing made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was listening.
Not to mention, this is getting it out to your audience and then some, because there's a Kickstarter community. In the same way that there's an Etsy community or any other type. And so you're getting your stuff out there to your own audience, plus possibly the overall Kickstarter audience.
Yeah, I was listening to CBC, and they were interviewing this. They were interviewing this singer songwriter, where she went on Kickstarter to get the money for her CD, which is really, really good. And she, it's the same story. She needed like go $3,500 and made $4,500 or something, or got that because her audience wanted the disc. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. It's the same thing, and I think that that's a big factor. Though you have to actually have some kind of following to get the ball rolling.
True.
I don't know if I just went on Kickstarter and said, "Hey, I'm going to do an Autumn Lake book." I mean, it would sit there.
Now, well, you know,
would be interested.
You think that, but I mean, I don't know. You know, the size of your audience in particular, but look at my good friend Jamie Noguchi, who wanted to make a stuffed animal that is half puppy and half cow, called Puppy Cow.
Puppy Cow. And
Puppy Cow's goddamn American
hero. I love Puppy Cow. He's a goddamn American hero.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. I mean, Jamie, no offense to the man, he doesn't have the biggest audience in the world, but he has enough of an audience. And he was able to use that. Now he can't turn around a month later and do it again with something else. No. But he was able to get Puppy Cow made, and now there's going to be stuffed puppy cows.
I think a lot of it, too, I mean, on this guy's article, he says, number two, be damn good at what you do. That's part of what you need. I think a fair bit of it, too, is marketing on a sort of a low level. You know, you can't necessarily just make something that will appeal to your audience specifically. You got to do it somehow that people who stumble across it are going to be interested. And if your friends link it out, people are going to give it a second look. You need to have some sort of skill in like marketing yourself, which is one of the reasons I don't do it, because I am no good at that.
Well, it's
I suck at marketing.
Yeah, I mean, all of this stuff that we talk about, you know, all this kind of peripheral stuff, like, you need to have a good product first is the key takeaway. But once you have a good product, there's a lot of options available that maybe more people need to use. Now, what I think is interesting is someone's going to come along and start thinking more outside the box and start saying, well, what is it that bands do that webcomic artists can learn from, you know, or what is it that you know, crafters do that webcomic artists can work from? Because we're all just creatives trying to make money, you know, off of what we do. And there's a lot of stuff out there that maybe we can learn from all these other ways of doing things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
let's on that.
Let's get on that.
Then you let me know.
Okay. Quick link via Bleeding Cool to YouTube. Where Neil Gaiman has gone on record talking about how much he loves piracy or doesn't mind it in the slightest because it has increased his sales dramatically. Didn't we cover a story like this a couple weeks ago about someone's stuff winding up on 4chan that did wonders?
Yeah, that was,
oh man.
Underground. The book was, I think, called Underground. It was from someone from the Periscope Studios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I guess we're seeing more and more cases of don't be scared of it, basically. I mean, do you guys still have a problem with piracy? Do you worry about
that? Oh, no. No way.
I figure if someone starts pirating my stuff, that means I've made it.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually, who's a pinup artist, some of his stuff, John Joseco, who does The Lounge, some of his stuff ended up on Sunkaku Complex, and he was bragging.
I would totally be bragging if.
I mean, it'd probably raise a stink if someone like published some of my work without.
Yeah, that's something
me,
else.
But if they're just, you know, downloading all of Garanos on a PDF on torrent, then it's like, woo.
Yeah.
Well, and also one thing, and this is sort of outside the webcomic thing, but I know for a fact that when people are licensing anime in America, they look at the download numbers. That is a way that actually businesses now tell what's going to sell. And I think you're probably see a fair bit. Oh, yeah, it's people have admitted that is when they're deciding what to pick up, they look at how many people have downloaded it. So, mm-hmm.
So keep downloading, guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for me, I'm not even in a coastal port, let alone the ocean, so the pirates can't find me. I'm too far inland.
All right.
But I take a drink.
Can't so, even see the ocean from where I am.
Oh. What? Now you just sound like old man in the sea for some reason. My good arm. Anyway, let's move on to I guess let's go skip down to Machine of Death. So the Machine of Death book, which was put out while not actually a webcomic itself, was put out by a bunch of webcomic artists and writers, is now selling more in iPad and Kindle and ebook general sales. They're now selling 115 ebooks for every 100 print books. I'd be happy selling 100 print books, but
happy selling a book.
You can read all about it on their post, which is over at machineofdeath.net. And the link, by the way, from Fleen. And they go into pretty good detail about their statistics and not, I think, the overall number sold, but the kind of trends that they're seeing so far. So be sure to go check that out. And while we're on the topic of ebooks, and since we're running out of time, I want to mention a quick piece of reader mail. We actually got reader mail, guys. Isn't that awesome?
Sweet.
Okay, so this comes from Dustin Reese, who writes Plus One, the webcomic. And Dustin says, "Hey, Ross Scott, I was listening to the latest Webcomic Beacon where you talk about digital distribution like Comixology and selling PDFs directly to fans. I had a question regarding PDF versions of books and was hoping you could help me out. He's looking to put together the book and he wonders if he should give them the high quality or whether he should hold that back for an actual book because, no, wait, is this just the thing about DPI? I'm being totally.
I think I know what he's talking about. I would personally hold back on the bigger, higher quality images in general because there are some comics out there that I like, but their web comic image is much bigger than in the book. And I don't see the point in buying a smaller version of the book, other than for supporting it. But this is also the mentality of a consumer as well. If I got the really good version already, what, you know, I mean, don't put a crappy version up, but don't put your best version up is what I'm saying, at least. That's me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing, you know, Garinos ebooks. And if I do, the quality will probably be somewhere a step in between, you know, the JPEGs on the site and, you know, the pretty full resolution.
I mean, sure. Unless you're selling high quality, you know, PDF files or CBR files, unless you're like selling like a high quality, you know, ebook, yeah, then you can do that. Yeah, I mean, if I have no problem with that. I mean, if you're just offering it for free, but you're also planning on printing a book later, I wouldn't give your best free.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. All right. Mm-hmm. By the way, if other people want to write in, feel free to leave notes in the comments. By the way, I did see someone said that we're their favorite podcast they listen to. Did you see that the other day?
Nice.
Yeah. Right. So, hey, readers, we love to hear from you guys. So send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Leave comments on webcomicbeacon.com on the posts. Or, hey, tweet us. That works, too. In fact, I got a tweet while we were recording from Mystic Striven. I suck at pronouncing that. I know her real name, but she probably doesn't want me to use it. saying that, talking about Kineticon, like we were talking about before, that it's Hartford and there just is only one bar open in Hartford. So the reason that Kineticon has that is not Kineticon, but it's because it's Hartford. So we love hearing from you guys. So please help us turn this newscast into a community and write to us soon. Quickly noted before we run out of time here, two quick things. First of all, the comic Vampire Vixens Facebook page was taken down because they had Nazis on it. This source via Bleeding Cool links to one of the creators' blog posts who talks about it. And basically, yeah, there were Nazis and it got taken down.
They weren't pro-Nazi, let us
know. No, they're not pro-Nazi, but it's, quote, hateful and threatening, unquote.
So do you get the impression that this is just sort of one guy sitting in the office and made the decision himself? It's not like a collective decision that...
Well, that's the thing about Facebook, you know, is that it's really hard to say what happened to lead to that in a lot of cases.
It's hard to say whose face made the call.
Yeah, and I love this quote from the blog post. It's a shame they never read the Facebook info page, because they would have quickly found that's not Nazi propaganda device, but quite an old-fashioned style war story with a supernatural element, namely vampires. This is very true. Like,
and how is this any different to, say, you know, sexy villains anywhere else, fictional sexy villains?
Yeah.
It's no different.
Okay, well, we'll have to pick that up later. Let me just quickly mention the last one more thing, which is that Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal did a comic about and then NOM, the National Organization of Marriage, hotlinked the image and basically, you know, yoinked it, but linking to its original source without actually moving it to their own site, and posted it on theirs. And because they were doing that, Zach was able to switch out the image from under them, and therefore got access to put whatever he wanted on their site and turn it into a, instead of an anti-gay message, to a pro-gay message, which was pretty awesome. And got some good coverage. I saw that in a lot of places and was totally worth it. I saw that in a bunch of places, also via Comics Reporter and The Advocate and Daily Kos. And be sure to check out Zach Wiener's blog posts, which are over at theWienerWorks.com. It's really interesting stuff. He also talks about how he got into comics. It's good times. With that, we're just about out of time.
Did we mention the Geek Girl convention?
Yes, let's make sure to mention that again. We did try to. Geek Girl Con
wasn't the right piece
is a new
it.
Convention being held in Seattle, Washington. And I'll just say, if anyone from Geek Girl Con is listening, if you want to have a super art fight there, let me know, because I would love to go to Geek Girl Con.
And let me know, because I am a geek girl.
Yeah. Me too.
Let me know, because I need a date.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I really I do support this convention idea. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. It should happen.
Yeah, I wasn't belittling the place that I put it, but it's, you know, we are out of time right now. So
yeah, stop putting geek girls in their place. Okay, let's wrap up with that. Thank you all so much for being on the show. Thank you, Kara.
Thanks. By the way, check out Kara. Thanks for having me
on. My pleasure. Thanks for being on the show. You can find Kara's stuff at conscrew.com. Thanks to Eric at Exern, EXIERN.com. Thanks to Fess, of course. You can find his stuff at PSIWebcomic.com. Mark Savory, could not do this without you, my man. AutumnLake.com. And, of course, Alex, which can be found at alexisguide.net. I've been your host, Ross Scott of the SystemSystemComic.com, and hopefully you will write down and visit all of our web addresses. And, of course, thewebcomicbeacon.com. And with that, I say to you all, thank you so much for listening. It has been fun. We will see you next time here on the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. Peanut butter and jelly, everybody. Have a great day.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.